Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, organizing and then running the Boston Marathon.
So that's how I look at my work, is that I'm giving other people an opportunity to sort of set goals and earn the right to toe the line and answer the starter's gun and run down the road and cross the finish line and get a medal and go home feeling good about themselves. And there's no greater reward than knowing that perhaps what you're doing is actually changing lives and making people feel good about themselves.
79 and setting records.
You know, if I can't get that workout within a couple of days, I'm not in good form. So, it's something that I'm addicted to, I say.
And beating the odds after a devastating cancer diagnosis.
Every single day that I wake up, I look at it like it's a gift. One thing that being diagnosed with cancer does for you is it really makes you feel a lot more grateful for everything that you have. I don't take anything for granted. I don't waste time. I really just spend all of my time doing the things that I really love doing and with the people that I really love to spend time with.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We are joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Happy New Year.
And the same to you. This is, here we are. It's almost 2018. And look, I got to say right off the bat, it has been a great year. I've had lots of great running experiences, lots of great other experiences as well. It's been lots of fun getting to know more people in the running community this year, spending time with you at some of the race events that we've been to together this year. So lots to be thankful for at the end of 2017.
Yeah, that's a really nice way of putting it. There's a big overwhelming feeling of gratitude. And I think that the people came out, and I think it was a good year for running, a good year for the sport. There was a lot of exciting news and a lot of new people came on and a lot of innovation, and I think the races are just getting better. And I think, you know, in terms of for an experience, that they're putting on more things and the runs are getting bigger and even better managed. And it was just a blast this year to be out at the races and to be part of the community.
What are some of the highlights of this year for you? I know you got to run in Toronto as a kind of a proxy for the late Ed Whitlock running the marathon in one of his record-setting times. That was pretty special.
Yeah, well, that was certainly a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And that whole thing at Scotiabank in October, I was able to, you know, give a couple of talks about Ed and, you know, to see all of the support and the way that people feel for him. I was able to sort of carry that with me, and when working so closely with his sons, you know, I feel deeply honored. And, you know, what I've always thought about this sport is when it means so much more than your sort of split times and calf stretches. I mean, I think for Ed, the reason we celebrate him so much and he's remembered so fondly is because he had a certain comfort in his skin, and he seemed to enjoy what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, and he was self-deprecating and everything else, and he didn't want to make a fuss, but he was approachable. And a lot of people, you know, as I was running his 356 carrying the sign, you know, people would come up to me and tell me their stories about him. And it just to beat that drum and to have any part in that, you know, you can't help but feel like, boy, if just a little bit runs off on me, you know, that would be, you know, something special. So I was just quite honored and touched to be a part of that. That was a great experience.
Yeah, another great highlight of the year, I think, is the latest issue of iRun that came out a few weeks ago. Running is for everybody. We talked about it at the time. We did a special edition of the show about it. And I'm sure you've gotten lots of great feedback, as I have, about that issue of the magazine and some of the coverage on the website, where we talk about and show people of all shapes and sizes, all backgrounds, all abilities who are runners. And that's one of the great things about the sport. And I'm so glad that you showcased that in such a vivid and comprehensive way through the magazine.
Well, it's just wonderful, too, when you see that this is what, because, you know, in 2017 and 2018, we have the analytics on all of these things. So we kind of know what works and what doesn't, what people, you know, want to read and want to see. And that this resonates, I mean, it just bodes well for like where the sport can go in the new year. And, you know, something that we can all strive for is how we want, you know, to sort of recast the sport a little bit. I think to some degree it struggled a little bit with this notion of being a little bit elite. Anything is exclusive. I think it's moving more and more towards inclusive.
Yeah.
And, you know, the wider we could draw our circle, I mean, the people seem to really respond to that. And I think it's the right message and the right tone to sound.
Absolutely. So if you, right off the top of your head, do you have any particular running goal for 2018?
Well, I would like a PB in the marathon. I mean, let's
okay.
just, I don't know if I can, you know, what's interesting, and I don't know about you and your own running, but I think I'd be more apt to PB in the marathon than I would in the half. I think my half at this point might be prohibitive to me, but I bet I could take my marathon down like 5 seconds, you know?
Okay, yeah. Well, on a certain level, that makes sense to me because the faster the race, the more it relies just on pure speed, which you lose
right.
as you get older. And the longer races, the more it's about your training and your fitness and your endurance and the mental toughness. So,
yeah,
I think you could do it for sure.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And actually,
there's your goal for
2018. Well, I know when I can do it, too, is because I'm going on. You know, we were talking about Ed, and the Waterloo Marathon in Ontario has christened the Ed Whitlock Half Marathon, and I'm an ambassador for that race, and I'll be doing
nice.
My talk. We could take a crack at it.
All right. Let's put it on the list. And Ben, I want to wish you a very happy new year to you and your family, and look forward to working together and chatting every week again on iRun Radio.
Happy New Year, my friend.
That's Ben Kaplan, who kicks off every edition of iRun Radio with us. He's iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, the race director of the Boston Marathon. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge, four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to iRun Radio. We're on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. Don't forget, you can also listen to the podcast, and you can check out past editions of the show by clicking on radio at irun.ca. That's irun.ca. As I've said many times, the Boston Marathon is the most coveted race in the world. And we had a chance to speak earlier this year to the race director of the Boston Marathon, who not only organizes the event, he actually runs it every year after almost everyone else has crossed the finish line. Dave McGillivray, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Tell me a little bit about your own running background first. When did you get into running? When did you start running marathons?
Well, when I was a young boy growing up in my hometown at Medford, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston, my whole goal was to be an athlete. And because I'm short in stature, I was always the last one cut from the teams and was always the last one picked when my friends, you know, sort of bucked up the sides. And so it was really frustrating for me that I wasn't making the team. So, you know, by default, I started running. And so that was about at the age of 12. And then I started running my age on my birthday. So I ran 12 miles on my 12th birthday, 13 on my 13th, 14 on my 14th. And I'm 62 now and been going ever since. And then when I turned 17, I heard about the Boston Marathon. And I decided, you know, I wanted to kind of jump in and see what I could do. And make a long story short, I ended up collapsing in the hills in Newton and right before Heartbreak Hill and got taken to the Newton Wellesley Hospital in an ambulance and vowed to come back the next year and do it right this time, train for it, earn the right, officially register. So I did. That was 1973. And I sort of made the commitment I was going to run this race every year for the rest of my life. So I haven't missed a year since. So I've run it the last 44 years in a row.
Wow.
So that sort of got my running career going. And, you know, after I graduated from high school, went on to college, after I graduated college, I decided I wanted to do something a little bit out of the ordinary. So again, long story short, I decided I wanted to run across the United States, so I did. So in 1978, I ran from Medford, Oregon, to my hometown of Medford, Mass., 3,452 miles in 80 days. I was averaging anywhere between pretty much 45 to 50 miles every single day for 80 days without a day off. And when I got back from that run, I decided to open up an athletic footwear clothing store in my hometown. And then I started putting on events to promote the store. And then I realized I'd like putting on events more than shoes on people's feet. So I opened up my event management business. And as they say, the rest is history. You know, 1,000 events later and 30-some-odd years later, you know, I've been fortunate to be involved in a lot of different events, like the Olympic Games and U.S. Olympic Trials. And this is my 30th year with the Boston Marathon, and I've done the ITU Triathlon World Championship and a lot of triathlons all over the world and road races and everything else under the sun. So it's been quite a ride to be able to combine a hobby with a vocation.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing what you love.
I do. You know, the thing is, shouldn't that be the goal for everyone on the planet?
Sure.
You know, when people say to me, what do I do for work? I typically say, I don't. They say, you have 5 kids. How do you support them if you don't work? And I say, well, I don't work in the conventional sense of the word, because people tend to look at work as 9 to 5 to stay alive, to get a paycheck, in so many words. And for me, I'm so passionate about what I do and enjoy it so much that, you know, I guess the worst day of the week for me is Friday, when everyone sort of goes home and I'm like, hey, where'd everyone go? I need answers. I need responses. You know, most people, you know, I look forward to Mondays, and most people dread Mondays because I'm like, okay, finally they're back. You know, it's funny because when I started directing events, people used to ask me what I did for a living, and I would mumble that I'm a race director, because it was almost like embarrassing, not truly embarrassing, but you know, my brother's a CFO, and my other brother works for the blind, and my other sister's a nurse, and another one's a social worker, and, you know, and I'm a race director. Like, what do? Right? Chalk mark in the road, and you'll go. But now, after so many years of doing this and understanding it and having a vision for where it all should be going, now when I'm asked what I do for a living, I say I help raise the level of self-esteem and self-confidence of tens of thousands of people in the country. And so that's how I look at my work, is that I'm giving other people an opportunity to sort of set goals and earn the right to toe the line and answer the starter's gun and run down the road and cross the finish line and get a medal and go home feeling good about themselves. And there's no greater reward than knowing that perhaps what you're doing is actually changing lives and making people, you know, feel good about themselves.
That's a really good way to look at it.
Which we accomplish everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. And what about for you? What does running do for you personally?
Well, same thing. I mean, years ago, you know, in the late 60s, the 70s and the 80s, it was all about competition. I mean, it was a sport. Not that it isn't now, but it was more of an athletic competition for me. It wasn't about lifestyle or health or fitness. It wasn't about trying to feel good about myself. It was a sport, you know, and I wanted to go to a race. And, you know, I would look at the field and I'd probably go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm going to finish 7th because I knew everyone in the race and I knew the shape everyone was in and the shape I was in, and the gun would fire and across the finish line in 7th or whatever it might be. And it was pretty, you know, it was just really knocked down, drag out, hardcore, you know, try to drill everyone into the ground kind of a atmosphere back then. And now it's, again, the walls of intimidation have crumbled. Philanthropy has entered the space. People are believing in themselves. And so I think it's you know, you've still got the front end competition and you've got those who are doing it, you know, as a participatory endeavor. Maybe they're being competitive with themselves, but not necessarily the rest of the field. So and those two dynamics can certainly coexist and have over the last 30 years. So for me, it's you know, I still have a competitive fire in my belly. You know, when I get out there, especially, you know, based on your age, you want to be competitive, and that's what it is for me. But it's also about just staying fit, staying healthy, feeling good about yourself.
And you said you run your age every year on your birthday. So on your last birthday, you ran 62 miles?
Yeah, so, yeah, I started running my age on my birthday. And then when I turned 40, my birthday was on a Monday, but I wanted a lot of people to run with me, so I did it on the Sunday, so I did it the day before. And then I changed my rules a little bit, and I basically said, well, if I run it within a week of my birthday and I can pick the day that's most convenient, because as you get into 40 miles and 50 miles or 60 miles, it takes the better part of the whole day to do it.
Sure.
So it's not like, you know, you can just wake up and if you turn 20, you can bang out 20 in a couple of hours and go to work. I mean, I have to have the whole day set aside to do this now. So I try to do it, you know, either the week of my birthday or a day or two after or whatever it might be. But yeah, I've been doing it since I was 12 years old.
Wow. And 62 miles took you how long this time around?
Usually it takes me, you know, between 12 hours. Yeah, you know, I do laps and loops and things like that. People join me. I don't make a day of it. It's not like I'm out there trying to, you know, break any kind of records or anything.
Sure.
I just want to get it done and in the books and move on. So, you know, yep.
You run the Boston Marathon every year, even though you're the race director. So I understand that you do it at a different time from everybody else. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I had run it 15 years in a row, and then I got the job to sort of help direct it. I was like, what do I do? And that was a really conundrum because, you know, how do you turn away directing the Boston Marathon? But at the same time, I made a commitment to running it. So what do I run in it or help run it? What do? And I just made the decision to take the job, and I'll figure it out later. And that year, this was 1988, I was standing at the finish line, and everyone was finishing, and I was giving everyone high fives, but I had a sort of a pit in my stomach saying, this just doesn't feel right. I should be out there running. I want to be an athlete. So I tapped a state police trooper on the shoulders, and I said, officer, do me a favor. He said, what's that? Will you drive me back out to the start? And he's like, yeah, sure. Did you forget something? I said, yeah, I forgot to run. So he drove me back out, and I started at 8 o'clock at night, and I finished around 11. So I was sort of obviously dead last that year. And then I've run it that way every year since. So I've been the last finisher of the Boston Marathon for the last 29 years. Because I started at, you know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night when everyone else is done and either in bed or in the bar room or
yeah,
in their fourth beer or whatever. But it's like the calm after the storm and gives me an opportunity to fulfill my goal of continuing to run in the marathon. So I've run it, this will be my 45th year in a row.
And what's it like running a marathon by yourself when the course is empty? I mean, this is one of the biggest races in the world, but you're not among the crowds and the spectators
yeah.
are gone. So it's a completely different experience, right?
Well, it certainly is. And what's interesting is that I ride on the lead motorcycle during the race. So I get to experience the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people lining the course and the yelling and the screaming. And I'm with the lead men, so it's even louder and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, roll the cameras ahead 5, 6, 7 hours, and then I'm out there either on my own or just with one or two friends or something. And, you know, it's a ghost town kind of thing. So when I first started doing it, this is a residential community kind of situation from the marathon. It goes through seven cities and towns before it gets to Boston. And, you know, by front doors of a residential home. So a lot of people are out on their front lawn or their decks or their porches, you know, having a little party, having a few beverages, if you will. So by the time I come through later on, you know, they might have had one or two too many. And then they see me and they're like, hey, why don't you pick it up, you slug? you know, wanted to train next year. I mean, they truly think that I started with everyone else. I'm like, wait a minute, bud. You know, I came by here 6 hours ago on a motorcycle. You know, I'm bringing up the rear here. But what's interesting, you know, you would think 30 years later, you know, in doing this, you know, people, the story has gotten out. And so now people are waiting on their decks or their porches because they know the race director is coming through. And they actually cheer my name and offer me drinks. And so it's become quite a little tradition, you know, and I feel very safe and comfortable out there. I get police escorts. I don't ask for them, but the police come out and escort me the whole way because I work with them all year, and they're like, well, no, we're not leaving you out here all on your own. We're coming out. So state police come out.
Oh, nice.
City and town police come out. Oh, I feel like I have more police with me than the race had, you know. So it's quite an experience.
Very cool. Well, Dave, it's great to talk to you, and your passion for running is obvious, and you and your team are doing an amazing job, and it's great to have you on the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Mark.
That's Dave McGillivray, the race director of the Boston Marathon. Coming up next, we're going to talk to a 79-year-old runner who is breaking records. We'll be right back. iRun Radio is brought to you by New Balance Canada, whose 806 V8. Released this fall, is the perfect new road shoe whether your distance is the 5K or the marathon. The 806 V8 is fast, light, and comfortable. It's the perfect shoe for helping you reach a new PB. Welcome back to iRun Radio. Our next guest is the incredible Florence Barron, who is 79 years old. She just completed the Cape to Cabot 20K race in St. John's, Newfoundland in record time. Florence, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's start, before we talk more about the Cape to Cabot run, about your love for running. When did this start? And remind us of the story of how you got into this and what's kept you going.
Well, I've been always a bit of a fitness fanatic, you know, all my life. But I started to run when I was 59. And I started off doing a very popular race here called Tilly 10. So I got a medal for it, a gold medal, and I thought, oh, this is great, and I'll do it again. So I did that for a couple of years without any training and got a medal. So I thought, oh, my, and my daughter mentioned for me to take some running lessons, which I wasn't aware of at all because I lived in another remote area that we didn't have that. And so I started training then with the running room, and I learned so much, and, you know, it helped me so much that I continued, and I started to enjoy it more. And so the rest is history. I just kept on running.
Yeah. And tell us about some of the things that you've done. You've done many different events, obviously, but what are some of the highlights?
Well, the thing is, I register for all the little races around during the summertime. There's like 5Ks, 8K, 10K, half marathon, you know, Cape to Cabot, and there is a race in St. Pierre-Miquelon that's a 25K. Year before, I broke the record over there. And this year, I broke my own record. I broke my record this year in all of the races that I did.
In all of them?
I worked a little harder because I'm now 79, and I know I'm coming out of this category. And I wanted to raise the bar a little bit, so I really followed the program through this year, and it paid off for me.
So you wanted to finish your 70s with a bang and with a bunch of records?
Yeah, kind of.
So tell me about a couple of them. Give me the numbers on some of the records.
Well, the 25K, I beat my time by 15 minutes. I did it in 2 hours and 21 minutes. and the 10 miles, which is the Tele 10 this year, I beat my record there by 3 minutes. So I did it in 87 minutes. And then in the Case of Cabot, I had the record there, which I beat, you know, by a minute. But that's a grueling race, and I wasn't even going for that. I was just running because I enjoy the running and just for the yeah. love of it, I guess. That's all. And I was surprised then when I even beat my record at that.
So you're running 10 miles in under an hour and a half. That's 16 kilometers in just under an hour and a half, 87 minutes or an hour 27. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's a good time at any age.
Yeah. Well, I think I was there. I think I was 89%, fast in the women's in that race.
Right, among all the women.
I think like close to 3,000 women, and I was 299.
299 out of close to 3,000 women of all ages.
Yeah. Or 289, I don't know,
yeah.
something like that. Anyway,
so
I know
there are...
I don't bother with it, but I see, you know, other people always tell me, oh, you got 89% of
right.
the women, you know, that ran.
You finished ahead of 89% of the women, even some women who were half your age.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Oh, it's really good. I'm always excited about it, but... You know, I'm not one to boast about it, but it does feel good when I, you know, when I can beat younger ones.
Sure.
So,
Absolutely. Now, what is it that you like so much about running, though? Why do you enjoy it so much?
I don't know. It's something I've always been, like I said, I always like to do some kind of fitness. It's kind of therapy for me. It's a stress reliever, whatever. I'm always like an upbeat person, but I still, you know, if I can't get that workout within a couple of days, I'm not in good form, so it's something that I'm addicted to, I say. And once I commit myself to something, then, you know, I have the desire to go, and I have to, you know, I have to go. I do that. I don't know.
And you're about to, as you mentioned, enter a new age group, so you're going to be 80 years old, and presumably there'll be a bunch of new records you could break at that point, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I would think so. If they, you know, some of the races, they have 80 plus, and then there's some of them not, you know, like it goes from 70 to 99, but these are the smaller races. But
yeah.
I know that in Tele 10, that 10-miler, that there is an age, you know, and I want to break that next year. And I know I will do that easy enough, right?
And do you have other races that you would still like to do? Are there other events that you'd love to try?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, all the races that I do from summer to summer, you know, season to season, I will sign up again for them and run.
But I meant maybe something you haven't done before. Is there another race you want to do?
Not really. There, some of my friends go different places to do marathons or half marathons. I haven't really, except going to Miquelon, St. Pierre Miquelon, for that 25K run. Maybe this year, who knows, I might just go somewhere else and do one, you know. But
you like to do the races that you do every year. You like doing them year in and year out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just stay around home because I like, then I can get my training. I can get my rest. I find that I do need my sleep, and especially leading up to a race. And
right.
That's, you know, so. Yeah.
Have you done any marathons?
No, just half marathons.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Florence, you're an absolute inspiration, and it's amazing to me, not just that you're running and enjoying all of these events, but that you're running so fast, because those, as I said, are some times that many younger people would be thrilled with, to run 10 miles in 87 minutes, or to run, what was it, 25K in 2 hours and 20-something minutes? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Good for you.
21 minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of the younger people say that to me. They're all so nice. They all say, oh, you're my inspiration, and I can't catch you. I want to catch you. I can see you on ahead of me. And I always have a chuckle and say, okay, you know, if you, I'm glad I inspire you. If you want to catch me, you just got to run faster.
Very well said. Well, Florence, thank you so much for joining us on the show once again.
Oh, you're so welcome.
That's Florence Barron of St. John's, Newfoundland. Coming up next on iRun Radio, the very inspiring Cindy Hooper, who almost 5 years ago received a devastating diagnosis. We're going to tell you her remarkable story coming up next. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back. Cindy Hooper is a remarkable runner and triathlete and fundraiser who almost 5 years ago was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. It is one of the deadliest forms of cancer, but Cindy is still going strong, still racing marathons and triathlons, and she joins us now on iRun Radio. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
So I want you to share the news with everyone, because I know a lot of people have been following your story, and you did get some fantastic news from your latest test.
Yeah, I went for my six-month checkup CT scans last week, and I was quite nervous about them, as I always am. But we got great news. There's no signs of recurring cancer anywhere in my body. So it's really, really incredible.
That's amazing. And that is really the best possible news that you could get, right?
It is, absolutely.
And can you put it in context? Because we've talked before about how pancreatic cancer is one of the worst diagnoses often, and it's often detected late and too late in many cases. So can you put in context what this means and how unlikely it is?
Yeah. So you're right, Mark. Most people get diagnosed too late and surgery isn't possible. So only about 25% of people diagnosed with pancreatic cancer get surgery to remove the tumor and other organs around it. But the Whipple surgery is the only hope for any type of survival past a year. So in terms of overall statistics, 75% of people who get pancreatic cancer die within the first year. And the five-year survival stats are the lowest for all major cancers, and it's not improving, unfortunately. So the five-year survival rate is only 7%. So that means out of 100 people diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, only 7 people live to 5 years. So my five-year mark is coming up in January. January 2018 will be 5 years for me. So when I went for this scan, it's not possible. It just seems incredible to be one of the very, very, very small percentage of people that make it through. So getting this clear scan means that I will make it to my five-year mark, and that is just unbelievable and a huge sigh of relief.
That's incredible. So you know now, you haven't actually hit that milestone yet, but since you've been thoroughly tested, now that you're in the 7% that make it to 5 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. And take me back to when you got the diagnosis, because those were the odds that you were confronted with at that time, the fact that you might not be alive a year later if you were the typical pancreatic cancer patient, right?
Yeah, so when I was diagnosed, we didn't know if I was even going to be eligible for surgery or not. So if I hadn't had surgery, those people typically die within 6 months. So I was diagnosed in January. I was registered for Ironman Canada in Whistler, which was in August. And my thought was, oh, my God, I might not even make it to August to travel out to Whistler. You know, I'd never been out there. So that was a big deal for me, just being able to, thinking about making the trip out there. So for about a week, I didn't know if I was going to be eligible for surgery or not. And it was just the most frightening thing I could possibly imagine. Thinking about, wow, what if this is my last, you know, 6 months? But the surgery was successful and the tumor was removed. So I was very, very fortunate.
So why did you keep training? Why did you keep running? Why did you keep doing triathlons, even Ironmans when you could, during the course of your treatment? What was it that made you want to do that?
Well, that was the only thing that made me feel normal and healthy. After surgery, you know, I mean, I didn't do anything for a while because it was very, very painful for a long time after my surgery. But even once I started chemotherapy, there's a lot of nausea and, you know, your blood counts are low and you don't have the energy that you do. But I still always felt better being outside than being in the house, sitting or laying on the couch. And so, you know, I'd go outside for walks or I'd go out on my bike. And I mean, I wasn't going nearly as fast as I used to, but I still felt a lot better being out on my bike with the wind in my face or swimming in each lake than I did whenever I was just sitting at home. So for me, it was, it made me feel better. And it also gave me a sense of normalcy, you know, to be in the same routine that I was in before I got sick and to be hanging with my husband and my friends, doing something that I love doing. So it always just felt really good to be doing that.
Yeah, normalcy, but it's your version of normal. It's not anybody else's version
right.
of normal, I don't
right,
think.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, for some people, they enjoy, you know, going for walks
sure.
or knitting or cooking, reading, you know, watching TV. And I enjoy doing some of those things as well, but most of my spare time is spent swimming, biking, and running. So for me, that's what I wanted to get back to after my diagnosis and after my surgery and during chemotherapy and radiation. It just always felt better to be doing that.
And give me just a quick summary of some of the events that you've done in the last almost 5 years now since you got that diagnosis, the running events and the triathlons.
Oh, well, running, I think I've ran all distances in races,
yeah.
5K, 10K, half, and marathon, and I qualified for Boston and went to Boston again, so that was really fun. And in terms of triathlon, again, I think I've done pretty much all the distances, sprint, Olympic, half iron, and Ironman last August. So I'm still able to do all those things. Again, I'm not able to do them at the same level I used to, but I still really enjoy doing them, and I'm still relatively competitive when I race, so I'm still enjoying it a lot.
So you qualified for Boston after you were diagnosed with, had surgery for, and were treated for pancreatic cancer.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right,
pretty
about,
cool.
So all my treatment ended September 2014, and I ran the Ottawa Marathon in May 2015 and qualified there to go to Boston the following year in April 2016.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be running the Tucson Marathon in 3 weeks and hoping again to qualify for Boston for 2018.
Okay.
That's my goal.
You want to go back?
I want to go back.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you're going to be running that marathon on your birthday, is that right?
It is. It's my 55th birthday.
So new age group, too.
New age group. I'm going to be the absolute youngest I can be in my new age group. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's impossible for you to be any younger in an age group than to run it on your birthday. Yeah.
Exactly. I even had to check with the race organizers that they are actually going to put me into my new age group. I don't know what time of day I was born at, and the race is at 7 a.m., so perhaps I won't actually be 55
right.
at that point. But they said, yes, it's your birthday, so that's the new age group.
Right on. So do you look at all of this as a bonus? I mean, because look at that list that you just ran off of all the things you've done since you got this diagnosis when you were staring in the face a very dire prognosis. So how do you look at this?
Every day is a gift. Every single day that I wake up, I look at it like it's a gift. It's one thing that being diagnosed with cancer does for you is it really makes you feel a lot more grateful for everything that you have. I don't take anything for granted. I don't waste time. I really just spend all of my time doing the things that I really love doing and with the people that I really love to spend time with. For me, life could be very short, and so I don't waste time. And, I see a lot of people complaining about things, worrying about things, stressing about things that really aren't all that important. You know, as long as you have your health and your family is all healthy, there's really not a lot else. I mean, that's everything. Without your health, you don't have anything. So I'm just extremely grateful that I've been able to come through this and enjoy life again.
And I should mention as well, we've talked about it before, but you haven't just run all of these races and done all these triathlons. You've also been fundraising like crazy for cancer research. So that's been a big part of your journey the last few years as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it feels nice to be able to give back and to raise money for an important cause. And I guess I've developed a little bit of a platform. And so it feels nice to be able to pull people together and raise money for the Ottawa Hospital, all the cancer research that's happening at the Ottawa Hospital. So I think we've raised just a little bit over $250,000. So
that's incredible.
That's really nice. It feels really nice. Yeah.
Well, Cindy, I'm so happy for your news and for this huge milestone that you're about to reach. And it's such an inspiring story. And I know a lot of people who have followed your journey will be very excited to hear about how you're doing. And frankly, I'm just glad that I remember talking to you when you got the diagnosis, not long after you got the diagnosis, and you were still talking about doing races and those kinds of things. And we talked at the time, and I'm glad that now almost 5 years later, I'm still talking to you and you're still, you're still a guest on the show and we still have the chance to talk about this.
I know it's very wonderful. And I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to share the news, Mark. It's very wonderful to be able to do this, so thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, and good luck in the marathon.
Thank you so much.
That's Cindy Hooper, who is approaching the crucial 5-year anniversary of her cancer diagnosis. Coming up on next week's edition of iRun Radio, we're going to start the year off in style by talking about destination races. And we'll also share some training tips with you for 2018. I hope you can join us then. In the meantime, Happy New Year. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for all your support this year. And I hope you continue to have a safe and happy holiday season. We'll talk to you next week.